Now, the Vimalakirti Nirdesha, or teaching of Vimalakirti, this text is a Mahayana Sutra. Though it's not a sutra quite in the sense that I've defined, but I'll be going into that in just a minute. As a literary document, as distinct from an oral tradition, as a literary document, the Vimalakirti Nirdesha appeared not later than the end of the 2nd century AD. When the scribes, by the way, wrote down the oral traditions in literary form, they didn't date them. The Indians, we might say, were not very time conscious in the way that we are. They didn't think that dates mattered very much. But anyway, we know that the Vimalakirti Nirdesha appeared as a text, as a literary document, not later than the end of the 2nd century AD. And it's thus one of the older Mahayana sutras. And we know that it cannot be later than the end of the 2nd century AD, because at the beginning of the 3rd century, it was translated for the first time into Chinese. And the Chinese nearly always dated their translations. They not only gave you the name of the translator and where he translated the text and who assisted him, but also the day of the week and the month and the year when he started and also when he finished. The Chinese were much more historically and chronologically minded, you can see, than were our Indian friends, who lived only too often completely above and beyond time in some space of their own. Altogether, in the course of centuries, some 7 Chinese translations were made. So you can see from this that the Vimalakirti Nirdesha must have been a very popular text. There were 7 translations into Chinese altogether made. And among these, there were the versions by Kumarajiva and Yuan Chuang. That is to say, by the 2 greatest translators of Buddhist texts to appear in the entire history, the entire practically 2,000-year history of Chinese Buddhism. Kumarajiva's version is remarkable, as all his versions of Buddhist texts, especially of Mahayana sutras, are remarkable for fidelity to the spirit of the original and great literary beauty. Yuan Chuang's version, on the other hand, is remarkable for scholarly accuracy and precision. And needless to say, Kumarajiva's version has always been by far the more popular of the two. There is also in existence 1 complete Tibetan translation still extant. There are also fragments of translations of the Vimalakirti Nirdesha in different Central Asian languages. The original text, the original Sanskrit text of the Vimalakirti Nirdesha, unfortunately has not survived, except for a very few short passages which are quoted in Sanskrit Buddhist writings, Indian Sanskrit Buddhist writings of a later period. Especially, for instance, we get in the Siksha Sumuchaya of Shantideva, with whose Bodhicharya Avatara many of you will be familiar. In recent times, the Vimalakirti Nirdesha has been translated into quite a number of modern languages, both Eastern and Western. And there are, to my personal knowledge, at least 6 versions already in English. And 3 of these are in print. These 3 versions are, first of all, by Charles Luke, and then secondly by Etienne Lamotte. This is an English rendering from a French version. And thirdly, by Robert Thurman. Luke's version is based on Kumarajiva. Lamotte's is based on the Tibetan version as well as upon Yuan Chuang. And Thurman's version is based on the Tibetan version. So you can see from this we've plenty of material already available in English for the study of the Vimalakirti Nirdesha, for the study of this very important text. And this is as it should be, because the Vimalakirti Nirdesha in fact is one of the very most important of all Mahayana sutras, as well as one of the most fascinating, one of the most readable, one of the most inspiring. Luke's version is the most traditional, perhaps, of the three, in the rather strict sense of the term traditional. Lamotte's is the most scholarly in the academic sense, and Thurman's, which is the most recent, comes somewhere in between and, I may say, above. Thurman's version is both traditional and scholarly, but scholarship has been subordinated to the needs of spiritual understanding, subordinated to the needs of the spiritual life. Thurman has also taken very great pains with the language, in the literary sense, of his translation. And the result is, I may say, almost a model version of an English translation of a Mahayana Sutra. It's a version which is traditional, in the best sense of the term, scholarly, and also very readable. And such a combination of qualities, of characteristics, is quite rare so far as translations of Buddhist texts are concerned, as those of you who've ploughed your way through some of the English translations of some Buddhist texts will know only too well. They're not always the most readable of things. So reading Thurman's version is not only, we may say, a spiritual experience, but also a literary one. And this brings me to the point that I mentioned a little earlier. That is to say, the point that the Vimalakirti Nirdesha is not quite a Mahayana Sutra in the usual sense. To begin with, in Sanskrit, it's not actually called a sutra at all. It's called Jing or Sutra, Jing meaning sutra in Chinese translations, but nowhere else. This is perhaps because, in any case, Qing originally meant a classic in the literary sense rather than in the religious sense. But be that as it may, the Vimalakirti Nirdesha is not actually called Sutra. Its title is simply the Vimalakirti Nirdesha. That is to say, the teaching, if you like, the exposition, if you like, the instruction of Vimalakirti, whose name literally, by the way, means something like stainless glory or immaculate fame.